Nicodemus said, the thing we have seen in your life, my God, no one can do these things except God is with the person. You didn't know that they will say that the Jews took off stones again. Go and read John chapter 10. They took off stones again. Again to stone him. They were always trying to stone him. Why did they not? I don't know whether you're getting my point. They were always trying to stone him. They were always seeking to kill him. Why did they not kill him? I put it to you straight like this. Because he was unkillable before his time. And he was unstoneable until the time was due. The Bible says he, walking through the midst of them, went his way. Listen, there is a presence of God you carry. If you have to be found on the road at 12 midnight in Sambisa Forest, you will not even be moved one bit. You hear what I said? Yes. You know what Sambisa Forest is? In case somebody is listening to this, that is where the throne of the Islamic militants in Nigeria, that's where their throne is as of today. Why? Not because, listen, you go and read the Psalms. A lot of those Psalms, God had issued them. Those were the words that Jesus lived by. See that Psalm 91? He will give his angels charge over you. Those were the words that Jesus lived by. That is, he didn't have to pray about anything once he discovers that it's been written like that. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. Peter, you say we need money. Look around, there must be some money somewhere. Why? Because the Bible says, now I'm using modern day this thing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we don't have enough money. Say we have enough. One day had a huge bill. You know what they call a huge bill? Suddenly, he just finished doing a crusade. Everything hung upon him. Men had to eat. He said, we don't have enough money to solve the problem. Even if we had the money, who will bake all the bread? He said, good. Now you will see the point. Make everybody sit down. They sat down. What do we have here? One little boy just graciously gave us his lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, fine. Let everybody sit down. He took it and began to break it. Listen to me. What was he saying? It is not possible that we won't have enough. I don't know what I got to say. That is, listen, this is God embodied in flesh. You are telling me he will have a problem he can't solve? That was not a special anointing. That was just the nature of God walking on the earth. This is different from, let's heal the woman with the issue of blood. Very, very different. This is, we need transportation. Okay. Peter, go over there. You'll see one Mercedes-Benz parked there. He has this number on it. CX115, for sale. Rip off the for sale sign. When they say, why are you doing that? Say, the master has need of it. Where are the keys? Now, some of these things, we are so used to them, we don't realize how miraculous, in quotes, they were. It was saying, sir, we have to go home. It is raining. Okay, no car around. Where's Israel? He has gone home. And what about Bishop? He went for Bible preparatory class in their church. Okay, any other car downstairs? None. All right, just go down. As soon as you take that corner, you see one place where they park new cars. Go to the back of it. There's one particular white Infinity there. It's a for sale sign on it. There is this number on it. It's a dealer's number. Like this, like this, like this. When you get it, rip off this for sale sign. While you are ripping it off, somebody will come up to you and say, what are you doing? Say to him, Pastor Banky wants to go home. I don't know whether I get the point. So what will happen? He will go in, get you the keys, hand you the keys. Tell him he'll get his car back tomorrow. But that the Lord will stand, do you understand my point? That he will stand and he won't be able to go where he wants to go to. He says it's not possible. Why? He's carrying the presence of God with him. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I'm trying to describe this Lord Jesus that we had. And this is the interesting part. Oh God, this will surprise you when I say it. It was not supposed to be a miracle. Adam would have developed to that level. Because after all, he was also supposed to be the Son of God. Go and read the genealogies of Jesus Christ. Adam, the son of God. That's how they ended it. But listen to this. An enemy has done this. Somebody say, an enemy has done this. That's why Paul said, listen, you know what God made you to be? And let's never forget it. I've described the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not do this so that he would just enjoy it and go away. The reason why he did what he did was to bring you and me to that same level. Did you hear what I said? Why he did what he did in going to the cross, dying on the cross, was to bring you and me to that same level. That's what I am trying to teach. And when he said to those who believed, he gave them the power or the authority to become, you know, sons of God, children of God. Remember, we said being a child of God is not just surname matter. It is that the day Jesus said, my father is walking, they said, what did you say? You call God your father, stone him. Why should they stone him? Because by saying that, he has made himself equal with God. And I said, Pastor Panke, are you trying to say that we are supposed to be equal with God also? I'll explain a particular principle to you. What is called equality with God. It doesn't mean you are God. It just means you have reached a particular point. There's a way I like to explain it. Go on to the story of Lucifer. We used to read the story that he said, I will exalt my throne. I will go above mount above the clouds. You know what we used to say? That Satan wanted to overthrow God. Have you ever heard that before? You know, when you were a child, you could believe such things. Satan is not that stupid. Nobody has the ability to conceive the possibility of maybe peradventure will be able to overthrow God. It is not possible. You can deny his presence. You can disobey him. There are things you can't even think about. What Lucifer said is that I will be like the Most High. He was careful when he chose his words. He said, I will be like the Most High. Go and read Genesis. It was not a strange word. What was the temptation they gave Eve? That was the temptation they gave Eve. You will be like God. So it wasn't anything new. What Lucifer wanted to attain was what Jesus attained by not disobedience, not by ambition, but by a total yielding of himself to God. That's why I like to explain the meaning of the word equal with God. Let me just explain it. This is my best example. As most of you here know, I teach students, all right? I teach in medical school. And one of the ways we mark essays, when we are scoring, we use what we call a closed marking system. Now, I won't go into detail so as not to bore you concerning what's a closed marking system. But this is the point about it. No matter how well you do, the maximum you get over 100 in a particular question is 70. It's a closed marking system. So the minimum we give you also is 30. So if you write nonsense, I'll give you 30. You didn't answer my question. No. You abuse me. I must give you. You know, if it's over 20, that's 6. All right? If it's over 20, it's 6. Now, this is the point I'm making. Listen to this. I am a lecturer. All right? I set the question. I mark the questions. I know the question ahead of time. Let us assume I decide to take the exam. What will I get over 20? 14. That's the maximum mark available. If I walked into that exam hall and I wrote it myself, brought my textbook in, copied the textbook, and did everything, the maximum mark available is what? 14. This is a question. Can a medical student get that 14 also? Yes, he can. If he works hard enough and he answers the questions enough, the maximum mark available is obtainable to him also. Even though he has only studied this course for maybe a year, something that I studied as an undergraduate, this is my postgraduate 5 years studying only it, and I've been teaching it for almost 15 years. The boy will go in, do an exam, after studying for less than a year, and what did he get? They'll tell you he got a distinction mark. Technically, he has become equal with the lecturer. Why? Because he's in an exam hall, and the reference is that this is the maximum obtainable. It doesn't mean he's my age. It doesn't mean he knows as much pathology as I do. It doesn't mean I will commit a patient into his hand now to make a diagnosis concerning the patient's life or death. It doesn't mean it. It means according to the reference I have given him, he has attained equality with God. He has. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? So in this creation, therefore, there is what God by himself calls equality with God. That if I, the creator, walked on the earth, this is the best I'll be able to do. That's just the way the earth is. So what happened? He actually came like that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created through him. Without him was nothing made that was made. And that Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is, that Word became what? Flesh. So anything that he did is doable for flesh that submits to God. He is not saying, suddenly, the man that was born today has now become the creator of the universe. That's what people don't realize. So when they talked about equality with God, he wasn't talking about, now I'm the creator of the universe. All creations should worship me. That was not what he was saying. He was saying there is a standard that God has set on this earth that people can attain to. And once they attain to that standard, it will be as if God himself is walking on this earth. He said, how can they get it? It's simple. Let God come down to the earth, walk that way, set an example for them, then die on the cross for them, then open a door so that I can pour a spirit of the Son into them, the spirit of obedience. That Son, that spirit of the Son starts walking inside those people. Do you understand my point? So that they start making every choice that is pleasing to God. They start making every decision that is pleasing to him. They start reacting to life as it's pleasing to God. Then a day comes, I point at that fellow and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And I'm saying to you, Christians, that is the quest of the Christian walk. Hey, that's what it is. So Paul said, what is the problem? Yes, Jesus has opened the door. He has poured the spirit of the Son into us. So what is the issue now? Why are we not attaining it every day? Can you easily get it? It's called defilement of what? Flesh and spirit. That is, we're enough for defilement of flesh and spirit. All these prayer meetings will have come to an end. This is my year of breakthrough. All the people that say I will not break through this year, I'm warning you. This year, you will die. I'm telling you. When we pray some prayers, we are just admitting, I am defiled. I'm far from God. The presence of God is not with me. So the enemies are attacking me. They have become strong. Let me weaken them. Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. Listen, what am I going to say? Listen. Life, what we call problems in life, are supposed to respond naturally when God's presence comes into solution. Is that my point? What am I saying? The disciples were on the boat, the apostles, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wind, the Bible says, was contrary. You must understand something. Jesus had to bear with those guys for a long time. Jesus was the example of patience. You know, they call patience. The Bible says the wind was contrary. As soon as he stepped into the boat, you know what happened? The wind ceased. The wind will always cease when Jesus steps into the boat. So all the, if I say this, it'll be funny. All the turmoil on the boat, anytime Jesus Christ is there, it's the apostles that caused it, the disciples. They caused it. No, I'm not joking, they caused it. Their unbelief, it caused it. The defilement of their spirit caused it. The defilement of their flesh, it caused it. The presence of Judas was a problem in the ministry. You know, it sounds funny, but I'm not joking. These are the reasons why the boat starts jumping up and down. Satan doesn't have that kind of power to just be harassing people anyhow. What happened was that those men will attract his presence. What happened? The Lord has slept. Good, let us try them. How do I know? Because when Jesus will wake up, he said, where is your faith? I don't know whether I get my point. He did not blame the devil. What did he blame? Their lack of faith. He didn't say the devil was trying you. Hey, you are lucky. He blamed what? Their lack of faith. That faith is an attribute of godliness. Are you getting my point? That was the attribute of godliness. Their lack of faith was the cause of the problems. There was a time he walked on water. And listen to me, in your life, Oh God, there's another thing I want you to understand. We look at Jesus walked on water and like, wow, that was great. I can assure you of one thing. You will walk on one kind of water one day. And I'm not joking about that. For some people, it will be literal water. Listen to what I'm saying. Yes. Some, you know, that was a greater walk than this. Some will walk on air. But what I want to just emphasize to you, usually those things are not done by, yes, let me go and walk on water. Once you start doing, let me go and walk on water, you are tempting the Lord thy God. What will happen is that it will, is as after you cross the water, somebody say, how did you get here? You say, I came that way. Say, but there's no bridge there. Say, but that's how I came. They will not drag you there and say, you came through here. And yes, I think so. Because now, you are now wondering, did I really come through here? What will have happened is that, listen, that presence of God will have just guided you through the valley of the shadow of death. But you see, maybe what God will do for you that time, so because fear is a force. Yes, fear is a force. It's the opposite of faith. The Bible says, Peter, when he looked at the waves, fearing, he began to sink. That is, the force that dragged him down was not his weight, it was his fear. Did you notice that? It was not his weight that dragged him into the water. It was his fear. And Jesus didn't say, hey, Peter, why are you so fat? Did he say so? He didn't say, Peter, why are you so fat? He said, why did you doubt? Fear is the reason why the presence of God, in fact, I will talk about it. That's what the Bible calls the defilement of spirit. Fear is a defilement of spirit. Fear is a defilement of spirit. Doubt, unbelief, that's a defilement of spirit. As I'm going on, I'm trying to do is to identify those things they call defilement of spirit. Let's just run through a few of them. I've talked about fear, unbelief. Jealousy is a defilement of spirit. A serious defilement of spirit. Haste. Grr. Me too, I must, you know, quickly, do it. It's a defilement of spirit. Unforgiveness is a defilement of spirit. Anger is a defilement of spirit. These are the things that are present in the present spirit, and the presence of God is far away. Do you get my point? So Paul said, you want to experience what is called sonship, and that principle called equality with God. Cleanse yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. He said, what about defilement of flesh? We'll talk about it. Defilement of flesh opens a door for defilement of spirit. Yeah, no, that's a matter of fact. That's a matter of fact. You know what Paul said to Timothy? He said, flee fornication. That is when you see it run. You know that? Buy speed, you know, speed shoes. Put fire. Boom! Disappear. Do you know why? Because when my book comes out, you read it. What I call worship and sex control. I found out that everything, see, spiritual things, you know, this human body, this flesh, you know, this thing you are touching, it has a certain trait scientists don't understand. That's the ability to connect with the Spirit of God. It has the ability to connect with spiritual realm. That's why demons crave it. I don't know what I get to say. Demons, they love it. When Jesus was driving them away, they begged. Don't send us out to dry places. Please. Okay, you are taking us out of a human flesh. Let's manage the piggly flesh. Yes. The human flesh, look, it has certain characteristics, certain traits. That physical blood, you see, there's something it does. That is why men who are into occult, they will tell you, they need to do something, they have to go and bring blood. They don't bring, you know, hypothetical blood, real one. There is something it does. Listen, oh God. I'll get to it later, because if I say it now, I have to start teaching it later. But listen, after I understood it, many men who you see once when they say that which they control somebody. I keep on saying people don't understand. Most of those so-called which is controlling somebody, go and check how the man got control. You can't just be walking on the road. They will just begin control you, remote control. That one I film. In real life, you have to plug in. Computer, you log on. In real life, you connect from your computer, you connect to a what they call an Ethernet cable into the source in the wall. You connect. You have to connect. Most of those men that are controlled, they connected. The number one way by which men connect is through sexual intercourse with funny people. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, God, go and listen to the series we talked on, what do you call it? Blessing Your Children. Some men, they have connected. The spirit of adultery is inside their house. Their boys have joined cults. The girls are harlots. They don't know what's doing them. They are possessed. Why? Papa connect. Mama connect. Why? Because of money. He joined party. He won political office. You go for meeting. The meeting, it is not... Okay, how many things to say? Listen, that's why do you think men always seem to do these things when they gather in powerful places? Why can't they just gather and not bring harlots? Why can't they just... Because it is what is called communion. It's not everywhere you go and eat. It's not the food that is the problem. It is the thing it is giving you. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. What were they supposed to do? Take bread, break it, take wine, pour it, recite some statements, and then drink it. And he said, do this. It's not many things Jesus said we should do. That was one he said, do in remembrance of me. When you see men go and gather, it's ordinary suya. People say, should I drink gouda or not drink gouda? Listen, if you and your wife will sit at home and with brethren and drink gouda, before you start, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel. Then drink the gouda. I am saying to you, under God, you will be anointed. I know when I'm joking. Yes. You sit with your wife in your house. You say, this one. Yes, I'm not joking. People say that, hey, Christian, let's say, oh. You sit with your wife inside your house. You bring a bottle of wine. It's called communion. But let it be coke, water. Sit with men that do evil, with their harlots around them. Share ordinary bread, meat pie with water. You will be possessed if you are not careful. That is, so it is not, is it wrong to drink? I am more concerned, who are you drinking with? That's the primary thing. See, what they call defilement of flesh, it's not a joke. People always look at, this isn't a sin, it's not a sin. Listen, a lot of things are defilement of flesh. And why the flesh is being defiled is opening a door for defilement of the spirit. So you see the man, he says he's looking for a job, he's looking for a contract. So what does he do? They say, okay, let's meet at, there's this joke place they have opened now at the mall. One bar there. Well, let us meet there. So when you come, you shake hands. Mr. Janley Koko, you are welcome. Mr. Temedi, very good. You are welcome. Please sit down. Bring him something. What would you like to drink? Oh, you know, you say, oh, no. I don't drink. I just like a bottle of malt. Okay. So you know that the girls are two. And the man is one. Say, this man like women. No, he doesn't like women. He brought one for you. He said, oh, no, sir. No, I'm not into such things. And the guy who they have paid for come and sit with you is sitting there and rubbing body. I said, no, come on, listen. No. But you know the problem you have? That contract is crucial to you. So you won't go away. And Satan is very, very smart. He comes little by little. So the one day the man tells her, what kind of nonsense is this? You can't even share a drink with us? Oh, no, sir, no problem. Okay, just, now, this is the issue. What do you think I go teach today now? Many things to say. The good thing about drinking your Coke and your malt is that it does not affect your brain. Alcohol does. In that place, so that you can run when necessary, best of all, don't drink anything. They give you food, say in your church you are fasting. Say, are you not lying? No, you just declared the fast 5 minutes ago. You have the right to declare fast anytime. Yes. I am fasting. It's not a lie. I mean, I can wake up as I finish eating now and declare fast instantly after the food. Yes, I can't. I mean, come. Nobody can. I can fast anytime. So tell the people immediately you are not eating. Why? You know, I like Nigerians. We are very religious. Once you throw in we are fasting, they will leave you alone. You know why it's crucial you fast at that time? I'll tell you. Because this flesh, you know, Jesus said something, it's not what enters into a man that defiles him. Yes. Bear that in mind. But you see something here. What is happening is that it's that communion they are having. The problem with alcohol is this. There are certain chemical substances on this earth that is designed by the Almighty, funny enough, to interact with the brain in such a manner that the brain is able to open or close to the spirit. I can prove it to you. Solomon said, I checked how to stimulate my body with wine. There's a particular way wine stimulates the body. These things can be used positively or negatively. I watched a movie some time ago on some cults. Part of cultic initiation is the use of, you know, what do you call it? Narcotic agents. It's part of initiation. It's not just that they get you high. No, in that high state, you open to spirits. That is why Abameda. Not Abameda. Who is that? Yes. That's why I used to smoke Indian hemp. It was not a bad habit. It was their own incense to the gods. It was not a bad habit. It was the offering of incense. Listen, it's not just about saying, when I drag something, I'll go to hell. You are not going to go to hell. Hell is not your problem. It's the spiritual possession that we are talking about. Listen, you go and join boys who are smoking. This is what you will do. As they are drinking the Indian hemp, this is what they call defilement of flesh. Once the flesh is being defiled, listen, this is how it is. The boy on the right is a killer. The one on the left is a rapist. That one in front is collect by force. That's it. Each of these things I'm telling you, they are spirits. Each of these traits are spiritual traits. There are demon spirits that is what they do. There are demon spirits that kill. You cannot be a murderer without having them. There are demon spirits that commit suicide. They like to kill themselves. Since they cannot die, they possess people and make those people commit suicide. There are demon spirits. Listen, homosexuality is a demon spirit. I'm not kidding about that. There are men that they can never... Sexual pleasure does not come to them unless it's by force. So you see, Americans don't know what to do with them. They are serial rapists. You rape women today, you put them in jail, you release him today. By tomorrow, he can't help it. There's someone I was reading about I think in the Netherlands, one of these Eastern European countries, one of the European countries. He won a case recently in one of their courts, I think Belgium, that they should be allowed to die. Because the torture he's in is a mental torture. The guy cannot help hurting people. He's in jail. So he said, I want to die. Why do you want to die? So I can be freed from my mental torture. So they say, sorry, you can't kill yourself. So he went to court. He finally won the case last week. You should be allowed to die because some people are physically sick and in that same country they are allowed to die. He said, I am mentally sick. I should be allowed to die also. And he won. Why? Because a spirit is torturing him. I'm going to have something here. So if a young man goes out, he sits down with boys. He's a nice, good church boy. They give him weed. The problem is that when you sit with boys carrying evil spirits, they light the weed as you drag it. Spiritually, you are defiling your brain, defilement of the flesh. That is how the spirits jump in. It's really communion. The boy drags it, he hands over to you. That spirit holds the thing. You put it in your mouth, you drag it in, they follow the smoke into your system. I'm not kidding about that. That is not everybody you hang with. We talk about don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. As if Paul was preaching marriage. He was not preaching marriage. He was preaching everything. Go and read it. He was preaching everything. You are starting a business 50-50 with an unbeliever. It's not a business venture. You don't understand. What is happening is that you are exposing yourself to first the defilement of flesh, then the defilement of spirit. Many Christians that have misbehaved in life, Satan knew where to start from. He started with defilement of flesh. After hanging around for some time, listen. Many men who their head is not correct again, they don't know what they are doing. They can actually trace it back. It was the day they went to the bar with those men. I was telling you about alcohol. That's the problem with alcohol. And all this Indian hemp and all this thing that people smoke. What happens is that it, you know, alcohol, you know what he does? He actually, you know what he says, man, he's drunk. He starts talking anyhow. Why he talks anyhow is that the way God designed alcohol is that it inhibits, the first thing it does is to inhibit. The job alcohol does is inhibit. So the first thing to do is inhibit your senses. That is, you are a normally cultured person. The things you want to say, you don't say them. So alcohol removes the restraint from saying them. So don't you just say, I just say, ah, Jonathan, how now? Pastor, this is your head, say, hi, Dave. I said, Jonathan, what did you say? He said, wait, you not get head. We all get head. These are things the man has thought in his heart. But because he's well trained, he can't say it. So the alcohol removes the inhibition. And he starts talking nonsense. As he's talking nonsense, a lot of them don't know what they have said, what they have agreed to, whatever it is. That's it. Evil spirits jump into them. Decent man, suddenly he's an adulterer. His wife can't understand. He was not always like this. Yes, it was when he started looking for money. He started looking for contract. He started looking for investor. They started meeting in strange places. Why is that most of those places, they are dark? Darkness, there's something about it. Physical things, they reflect spiritual things. Why is it that most of Jews' joints are dark? Be careful who you share communion with. People will not go there. You know, Jesus said, this is my body that is broken for you. Take it. And as you are taking it, what is happening? The spirit of healing is entering into you. But when men take suya, they have, you see, those girls you see, they are agents. You know what they call agents? Oh, God. You know what they call agents? You not heard agent before? How can you be a Nigerian today? You don't know agent. You know they go church. You must know agents now. Some of them don't know their agents. Some of them don't know. Some of them are literally possessed of evil spirits and they know. But most of them don't know. They are agents. They are the conduit channels of evil spirits into people's homes and their lives. The man will say, because he's a big man, he goes for party. They do it a lot. Either political party, financial party, you know, big men, all these big industrialists. And they finish, they share women. And those ones be carrying evil spirits about, they don't know. Those girls are the pipes by which those men, oh God, as that man is in bed with that girl, you know what's happening? His whole spirit is open to evil spirits. Evil spirits pour into his life. He takes it home. His whole house is upside down. Defilement of flesh and spirit. This is why God's spirit is not manifested. This is why his presence is not manifested. People defile their spirits. The most important thing there is not the flesh. It is the spirit. It's just that defilement of flesh opens the door for a defilement of spirit. That's what the problem is. So I tell men from today, either you are men and women, either you are a student, you're a worker, you're a businessman, you're in politics, whatever it is,
Please.
It's not everywhere you go. If you go to certain places, you don't know what is going on. People are misbehaving. They offer you water, don't drink. Next time they call the meeting, don't go. You know what I'm teaching? There's this defilement that does not allow God live in us as a true father that he designed for this whole arrangement to be. That is why we're always lacking. We're always sick. We're always in trouble. We are thoroughly defiled. Another major spiritual defilement is ignorance. That's why God will prophesy to you what he wants to do in your life. Because without knowledge, you can't have faith. Faith is tied to knowledge. Faith is tied to knowledge. A major defilement of spirit, ignorance. Because when you don't know anything, what can you believe? Listen, what have I said today? Let me summarize it so we can go. The point I'm making to us is that, listen, God wants to live in us. We are supposed to be the dwelling place of God on the earth. And many of the things people are praying for are supposed to be natural expressions of God in our lives. Lack is automatically taken care of. You will never be in a difficult situation you can't come out of. If physically you are attacked, angels will come and defend you. Physically, angels will come and defend you. If you walk across water, you will have finished walking before you realize you were on water. Many people will survive difficult things. It's afterwards they will say, what happened? What's happening? God's presence is in their lives. And I'm saying, God said, this must be the normal thing for you. And that's why Jesus came. And I say, how come people don't experience it? He said, it's called defilement of flesh and spirit. And I explained that many things we go through in life is defilement of spirit. Sin of all sorts. There are defilement. Sin can simply be defined as defilement of flesh and spirit. This defilement of spirit is a major thing. Fear, unbelief, doubt, ignorance, anger, unforgiveness, envy and jealousy, ambitions, all those things, they defy your spirit so that God cannot stay there. When I said defilement of flesh, the problem with it, that's why Paul put it first. Defilement of flesh and spirit. Many of the things people use to defy their flesh, the flesh in itself profited nothing. That's what the Bible says. It is the spirit. It is what it opens the spirit to. Many people, they think that nobody will see. They don't go sleep with one girl here, sleep with another one here, sleep here. They are collecting evil everywhere they go. The strength to succeed is dropping. Go and listen to our series, Giant Killer. Go and listen to that series, Giant Killer. The strength to succeed, they are dropping it everywhere. They go through life, they can't think straight. Make crucial decisions. They can't. They're always deciding upside down. Right, they've lost the strength. They've collected evil spirits. That's why, listen, that one is the most potent. But if I told you, be careful who you share communion with. Men gather in strange places. If you find yourself there, start a fast. It is not the place now, it's the people. You understand my point? You eat suya. It is called, this is my body broken to ruin your life. Take it and be destroyed. They pour that bottle of Gudamax stout. As you are drinking it, this is the blood of the dead covenant. You're dead. You are drinking it in the Bible. Oh, the Lord is good. It's good to be a Christian. You know why it's good to be a Christian? Your eye go open. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you know what I enjoy being a believer? Open eye. Yes, that's what I enjoy most about being a Christian. Sometimes you see young women, they are misbehaving in life. You just say, this is the reason why success will be far from you. Some people talk about sin, say sin being pleasure. I say, what is pleasurable in that? If you want to inject Satan into my life, like I'm going on the road now, say this needle contains Ebola virus, bring your hand. No, think about it. As I'm injecting it, you'll be feeling good. Did you not say Ebola? How can I be feeling good as you're pumping Ebola into my system? I can't feel good. That's one thing about being a believer. The ability to understand spiritual things. It gives you a lot of liberty in life. gives you a lot of liberty. Quickly, just bend our heads and just say, Lord, thank you for understanding. Thank you for the ability to see.